hear his same words, God.
Love Talk Radio.
Keep the same. Amen.
Such freedom I have found in you. You're the healer who makes all things new. Yeah. I'm not going back, moving ahead. Here to declare to you, the past is over. You, things are made new. Surrendered my life to Christ. I'm moving, moving forward. Oh, oh, oh. You.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and as always, truly blessed to be with you this morning as we move forward through the Word of God. And as always, it is what? It is a good word. God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. We hear that term all the time. Even our babies know how to say God is good. But we got to not only say it, we got to believe it. That God is good and all the time. As we go through our word this morning, David is going through being chased by Saul, you know, having opportunity to end it all by just killing him and getting it over with. But God, Saul didn't have a clue that the but God was there. Saul didn't understand that as you chasing David, David could have killed you, not once, but twice. But he didn't. Because why? He loved God. He loved God and his work. He was going to let it be used for God, not for self, but for God. Because he loved Saul. He was called to take away the situation Saul was having when he lost his anointing, when the Lord allowed the spirit to vex his soul. It was David and his music that calmed his soul. But he forgot all of that because power corrupts the corruptible. Saul was corruptible. Samuel was feeling some kind of way too. Like, why did I choose this? You didn't choose, God chose. Because you looked at the outside and not at the inside. We got to look at the inside, but we're going to get started because I just wanted to go over a proverb, and it's our proverb for this morning, and it is, commit your works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established. David committed himself to God. It says that he was after God's own heart. And I love this word from Dr. Stanley. He says, how do we commit our works to the Lord? Not merely by asking him to bless what we've already done, but by committing us to him before, doing, and after we have done our work. We got to commit to God whatever it is that we are doing and what we want to do. I asked God, I said, Lord, I want a degree in theology. And God made it happen. Hallelujah. Thanking God from a bachelor's. Thanking God that he made it work. That he worked for me. I'm blessed beyond measure. Because I serve a mighty God. commit whatever you do for God to God. Don't let anybody knock you off your square. But you are special. And as we get into our word today, we're going to talk about a mighty woman of God. And again, women's ministry is my calling. And so I look at women in the Bible and Abigail, who becomes a wife of David. Mighty woman of God knows and understands I'm not trying to get my household killed because of this silly man that I'm married to. Selfish man that I'm married to. Not understanding the ramifications of situations that I'm married to. So she did what was right in the sight of the Lord. And God gave her David as a husband when her silly one died. You know, and please, widows, don't think God's talking about, she's talking about both husbands that died. No, I have a husband that died, and he was not a silly man. He was an awesome and mighty man of God. But there are some that just don't get it. And unfortunately, Nabal was a rich, selfish man who was all about himself. And he paid for it. There are a whole lot of rich, silly men out there who are all about themselves. And they have folks that are falling after them and following after them. We have to be careful who we allow into our life, who we allow into our ears, who we allow to speak to and over us as men and women of God. Understand, we have a purpose, and God wants us to have peace in our life, peace in our hearts, peace in our minds, and peace in our spirit. God is wanting the best for us. Why? Because he loves us. And he wants us to know that we are special to God. We are blessed beyond measure to God, children. And all he asks of us is to love him back. Let's get started in our word. Father God in heaven, we come to you this morning as your humble servants, Lord God, ready to go to work for you are God and God alone, and we are your humble servants, asking you, Father, what would you have us to do? But Lord, we are willing workers in the vineyard. We are understanding, Lord God, that we pursue you. We pursue you, Father, not riches, not any of the things of the world, but you. For you are eternal, and we want to one day spend life with you. Lord God, I ask forgiveness for anything that I may have said, done, or thought. In Jesus' name, Lord, allow me a clean heart and a righteous spirit as I read your word and teach your word, Lord God. May it be a balm, a Gilead balm of healing for someone's soul today, for someone's mind today, and for someone's spirit today. Lord God, let this word touch heart. Lord God, allow this word to permeate spirit. For Lord, as I decrease, you increase. And I ask, Father, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. For Lord God, you are my strength. And you are my Redeemer. And I give this message and all that I do, Lord, I capable and loving hands. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And amen. Thank you, Father. Let's get into this word this morning. And it says this. In 1 Samuel chapter 24 to 1 Samuel chapter 25, verse 44. On this 11th day of May, and for those that are just joining this Moving Forward experience, I am coming out of the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles daily Bible biblical principles for each day of the year. And I am coming out of the New King James Version. And it is a great, 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 great word. And it says this: Now it happened when Saul had returned from following the Philistines, take note, David is in the wilderness of En-Gedi. Then Saul took 3,000 chosen men from all Israel and went to seek David and his men on the rocks of the wild goats. So he came to the sheepfold by the road where there was a cave. And Saul went in to attend to his needs. David and his men were staying in the recesses of the cave. Then the men of David said to him, This is the day in which the Lord said to you, Behold, I will deliver your enemy into your hand, that you may do to him as it seemed good to you. And David arose and secretly cut off a corner of Saul's robe. Now it happened afterward that David's heart troubled him because he had cut Saul's robe. And he said to his men, The Lord forbid that I should do this thing to my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch out my hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord. So David restrained his servants with these words and did not allow them to rise against Saul. And Saul got up from the cave and went on his way. David also arose afterwards, went out of the cave and called out to Saul, saying, My Lord the king. And when Saul looked behind him, David stooped with his face to the earth and bowed down. And David said to Saul, Why do you listen to the words of men who say, Indeed, David seeks your harm? Look, this day your eyes have seen that the Lord delivered you today into my hand in the cave, and someone urged me to kill you, but my eyes spared you. And I said, I will not stretch out my hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed. Moreover, my father, see the corner of your robe in my hand. But in that I cut off the corner of your robe and did not kill you. Know and see that there is neither evil nor rebellion in my hand, and I have not sinned against you. Yet you hunt my life to take it. Let the Lord judge between you and me, and let the Lord avenge me on you. But my hand shall not be against you. As the proverb of the ancient says, wickedness proceeds from the wicked, but my hand shall not be against you. Afterwards, whom has the king of Israel come out? Whom do you pursue, a dead dog, a flea? Therefore, let the Lord be judge and judge between you and me and see and plead my case and deliver me out of your hand. So it was when David had finished speaking these words to Saul that Saul said, In this your voice, my son David. And Saul lifted up his voice and wept. Then he said to David, You are more righteous than I, for you have rewarded me with good, whereas I have rewarded you with evil. And you have shown this day how you have dealt well with me. But when the Lord delivered me into your hand, you did not kill me. But if a man finds his enemy, will he let him go away safely? Therefore, may the Lord reward you with good for what you have done to me this day. And now I know indeed that you shall surely be king, and that the kingdom of Israel shall be established in your hand. Therefore, swear now to me by the Lord that you will not cut off my descendants after me, and that you will not destroy my name from my father's house. So David swore to Saul, and Saul went home. But David and his men went up to the stronghold. And this is what life lessons, and all life lessons, life questions, life examples, those are commentaries from Dr. Charles Stanley, which I also share. But I want to make sure that everyone knows this is not mine. Some parts may be, some of it is all Dr. Stanley. And this is what the first life lesson says from 1 Samuel chapter 24, verse 6. The Lord forbid that I should do this thing to my master, the Lord's anointed. David understood the word, touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. But he understood that Saul was an anointed. Saul also prophesied, But the bottom line is God chose Saul for the first king of Israel. And David understood that you do not touch what God has anointed. And it says this, David knew that God's blessings had left Saul. He knew that he would become king. Yet because God had anointed Saul, David refused to lay a hand on him. David honored the Lord by sparing Saul's life. Again, a man after God's own heart. 1 Samuel chapter 24, verse 12, let the Lord avenge me on you, but my hand shall not be against you. David would not usurp God's place. If Saul needed to be removed as king to make way for David, then David would have to do it. Then God would have to do it. Even if urged by his friends, David would not strike the Lord's anointed. David's like, I understand I've been anointed to be the king. I understand that I have been chosen by God. Time. Until it's my time. Until the change comes, I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing for God. I'm going to keep protecting Israel against the Philistines. I'm going to keep going to battle for them, even when they don't know that I'm going to battle for them. Because I'm not doing it to be seen. I'm doing it to protect the people of God. David was not after Saul. Saul was after David. Saul was jealous. A jealous spirit can tear up some stuff. A jealous spirit can mess up churches, military units, can mess up countries. Jealous spirit. Folks want what is no longer theirs, but they get people all caught up in foolishness. Don't you understand? David saved Israel. But what happened? They forgot all about it and followed after Saul, who was no longer the king because the anointing had left him. But let's keep moving because we all understand that Samuel was the one that loved Saul. He loved Saul. Knew that Saul could have been a great king, but Saul was not prepared. He didn't have the right heart. Folks can do good things, but when you don't have the right heart, it's not going to work. So much of what we do for God, we do because of the right heart, a righteous heart, a loving heart, a God-filled heart. We got to have peace in our soul, in our mind, and in our spirit. David never tried to hurt anyone that he was not told to hurt. Look, all through, David prayed. Just like Jesus, David prayed before going into battle. David prayed before doing anything. He prayed. And what we must do is whatever we go through, we must pray. And if we hear wait, we got to wait. Even though our mind's saying, but Lord, I got to do this. I got to go there. I got to get this. I got to do that. I got. And God said, wait. And we have to do what? We have to wait. So let's continue. Chapter 25, 1 Samuel. And it says that Samuel died. And the Israelites gathered together and lamented for him and buried him at his home in Ramah. And David arose and went down to the wilderness Paran. And there was a man in Maon, whose business was in Carmel, and the man was very rich. He had 3,000 sheep, 1,000 goats, and he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. The name of the man was Nabal, and the name of his wife, Abigail. And she was a woman of good understanding and beautiful appearance, but the man was harsh and evil in his doings. He was of the house of Caleb. When David heard in the wilderness that Nabal was shearing his sheep, David sent 10 young men. And David said to the young men, go up to Carmel, go to Nabal, and greet him in my name. And thus you shall say to him who lived in prosperity, peace be to you, peace to your house, and peace to all that you have. And that is the title of our lesson today. Peace be with you, family. Peace to your house, family. And peace to all that you have. And this is what happened. Let's keep going. Verse 7. Now I've heard that you have shears Your shepherds were with us, and we did not hurt them, nor was there anything missing from them all the while they were in Carmel. Ask your young men, and they will tell you. Therefore, let my young men find favor in your eyes, for we come on a feast day. Please give whatever comes to your hand to your servants and to your son David. So when David's young men came and spoke to Nabal according to all these words to the name of David and waited, and Nabal answered, David's servant said, who is David, son of Jesse? There are many servants nowadays who break away each one from his master. Shall I then take my bread and my water and my meat that I have killed for my shears and give it to them? When do I do not know where they are from? Oh, he was nasty. He was nasty. Because aren't we supposed to help those that are in need? Especially when you have. God blesses us to be blessings to others. And it goes on to say, so David's young men turned on their heels and went back, and they came and told them all these words. Then David said to his men, every man gird on his sword. Every man girded on his sword, and David also girded on his sword. And about 400 men went with David, and 200 stayed with the supplies. Now one of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, saying, look, David sent messengers from the wilderness to greet our master, and he reviled them. But the men were very good to us, and we were not hurt, nor did we miss anything, as long as we accompanied them. When we were in the fields, they were a wall to us, both by night and day, all the time we were with them, keeping the sheep. Now, therefore, know and consider what you will do, for harm is determined against our master and against all his household, for he is such a scoundrel that one cannot speak to him. Then Abigail made haste and took 200 loaves of bread, 2 skins of wine, 5 sheep already dressed, 5 seahs of roasted grain, 100 clusters of raisins, 200 cakes of figs, and loaded them on donkeys. And she said to her servant, go on before me. See, I am coming after you. But she did not tell her husband Nabal. So it was as she rode on the donkey that she went down under the cover of the hill. And there were David and his men coming down toward her, and she met them. Now David had said, surely in vain I have protected all that this fellow has in the wilderness, so that nothing was missed of all that belongs to him. And he has repaid me evil for good. May God do so and more also to the enemies of David if I leave one male of all who belong to him by morning light. He was about to go down and clean house. Because he said, now I've been good to this man. I have protected everything he has. And yet he can't give us a little something to feast the death of Samuel. Come on now. He was hot. He was ready. And then let's keep moving. Verse 3, now when Abigail saw David, she dismounted quickly from the donkey, fell on her face before David, and bowed down to the ground. So she fell at his feet and said, oh me, my Lord, oh me, let this iniquity be. And please let your maidservant speak in your ears and hear the words of your maidservant. Please let not my Lord regard this scoundrel Nabal. For as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. But I, your maidservant, did not see the young men of my Lord whom you sent. Now, therefore, my Lord, as the Lord lives, and as your soul lives, since the Lord has held you back from coming to bloodshed and from avenging yourself with your own hands, now then, let your enemies and those who seek harm for my Lord be as Nabal. And now this present, and now this present, which your maidservant has brought to my Lord, let it be given to your young men who follow my Lord. Please forgive the trespass of your maidservant, for the Lord will certainly make my Lord an enduring house, because my Lord fights the battles of the Lord, and evil is not found in you throughout your days. Yet a man is risen to pursue you and seeks your life, but the life of my Lord shall be bound in the bundle of the living with the Lord your God. And the lives of your enemies he shall sling out as from the pocket of a sling. And it shall come to pass, when the Lord has done for my Lord according to all the good that he has spoken concerning you, and has appointed you ruler over Israel, that this will be no grief to you, nor offense of heart to my Lord, either that you have shed blood without cause, or that my Lord has avenged himself. But when the Lord has dealt well with my Lord, then remember your maidservant. Abigail's like, hey, I don't want people in my house killed because of this scoundrel of a man I'm married to. I don't want the people in my household killed because he does not know how to be kind. Because he was evil probably to her too. Because wicked is wicked. Bottom line is, she wanted to be a righteous woman of God. And she wanted her husband to be a righteous man of God, but he was not. He was not. He was a hot mess. But because of God, and because of this strong woman of God, her household is going to get saved. So let's keep going. Let's read. I told y'all it was a great word this morning. Then David said to Abigail, blessed is the Lord God of Israel who sent you this day to meet me. And blessed is your advice and blessed are you because you have kept me this day from coming to bloodshed and from avenging myself with my own hand. For indeed, as the Lord God of Israel lives, who has kept me back from hurting you, unless you had hurried and come to meet me, surely my morning light, no males would have been left to Nabal. So David received from her hand what she had wrought him and said to her, go up in peace to your house. See, I have heeded your voice and respected your person. Now Abigail went to Nabal, and there he was holding a feast in his house like the feast of a king. And Nabal's heart was merry within him, but he was very drunk. Therefore, she told him nothing, little or much, until morning light. So it was in the morning, when the wine had gone from Nabal, and his wife had told him these things, that his heart died within him, and he became like a stone. Then it happened, after about 10 days, that the Lord struck Nabal, and he died. Died. Why? Because he was unhospitable. He was unhospitable. Hospitality goes a long way with God. When I was hungry, you fed me. It goes a long way with God. So when David heard that Nabal was dead, he said, blessed be the Lord who has pleaded the cause of my reproach from the hand of Nabal and has kept his servant from evil. For the Lord has returned the wickedness of Nabal on his own head. Heart attack. He probably had a stroke and then died from it because he was evil. Just evil for no reason at all. God wants us to be kind. And this is what David said. He said, David sent and proposed to Abigail to take her as his wife. When the servant of David had come to Abigail and Carmel, they spoke to her saying, David sent us to you to ask you to become his wife. Then she arose, bowed her face to the earth and said, here is your maidservant, a son of my Lord. So Abigail rose in haste and rode on a donkey, attended by 5 of her maidens, and she followed the messengers of David and became his wife. David also took Ahinoam of Jezreel, so both of them were his wives. But Saul had given Michal, his daughter, David's wife, to Bilthai, the son of Lais, who was from Gilead. So his wife, Michal, is with somebody else, and so he's married 2 other women. You know, because, again, her daddy's pursuing him and trying to kill him. So he goes on about his business. I understand you got to be careful, though, who you marry, who you mess around with. For God is watching everything. And this is what it says in our life lessons for chapter 25 of 1 Samuel. He has repaid me evil for good. Sometimes we doubt whether it benefits us at all to do good. But the word tells us, let us not grow weary while doing good, but in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart or if we faint not. We got to have that Galatians 6:9 word in our heart. Let us not grow weary, family, while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart or if we faint not. We got to keep going forward. We can't keep looking back over what was, what should be, what woulda, coulda, shoulda. We got to move forward. And we cannot pay evil for evil. Yes, there have been folks that I have helped that came back and did some dirt. But you know what? I forgive them. I got to give them to God. I can't walk around with all that mess in my heart because all it does is bind you up and you wind up being the one dead. And they're going about their business because they don't know that they did anything to hurt you because they really didn't care. They know you helped them, but they don't care if they helped you or not because they were worried about themselves. Because selfish people think about self. They could care less about their brothers or their sisters. But we got to think about each other. We got to love each other. We got to love God more than we love ourselves because that's just the way it works. And the last word for this word is this. The Lord God of Israel kept me back from hurting you. It was Abigail's quick thinking and wise action that kept David from annihilating all the males in Nabal's family. But David rightly saw it as the Lord keeping him from bloodshed. Our sovereign Lord worked in many ways, and he works in many ways to protect us, sometimes from ourselves, and always from the attacks of others. Saul never killed David, did he? Because David had an anointing and a protection from God. In Psalms chapter 60, verse 1 through 5, and it says, the chief musician said to Lily of the Testimony, a victim of David, for teaching when he fought against Mesopotamia and Syria of Zobah, and Joab returned and killed 12,000 Edomites in the Valley of Saul. It says, O God, you have cast us off. You have broken us down. You have been displeased. O restore us again. You have made the earth tremble. You have broken it. Kill its breaches, for it is shaking. You have shown your people hard things. You have made us drink the wine of confusion. You have given a banner to those who fear you, that it may be displayed because of the truth, Selah, that your beloved may be delivered. Save with your right hand and hear me. Save with your right hand and hear me. Commit, and then our proverb for today is also in our word this morning. Commit your work to the Lord and your thoughts will be established. Commit your works to the Lord and your thoughts will be established. And Dr. Stanley says, how do we commit our works to the Lord? Not merely by asking him to bless what we've already done. I said this earlier. But by committing ourselves and our plans to him before, during, and after we have done our work. You know, when it's time to get up and go to work, you got to get up and go to work. I have, you know, I needed my grass cut, and my sons are up early in the morning doing the work. I mean, we're not even at 7:30, and they are already out cutting grass. Because they knew it was time to go to work. We want to get it done before the heat of the day. You know, when you got to get to work, you got to go to work. You know, faith without works is dead. We got to have faith that we're going to have enough gas to get it done and that we won't break the lawnmower in the process. Because God knows I need my lawnmower. But I trust God that all things are going to work for our good because why? We trust in the Lord. And so let's keep moving this word. It says we're going into our New Testament word, which is John. We just started in John on yesterday, and we're in John chapter 1, verse 19 through 51. And it says this. Now this is the testimony of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who are you? He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, what then? Are you Elijah? And he said, I am not. Are you the prophet? And he answered, no. Then they said to him, who are you? that we may give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself? He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord. As the prophet Isaiah said, now those who were sent were from the Pharisees, and they asked him, saying, why then do you baptize if you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there stands one among you whom you do not know. It is he who is coming after me, is preferred before me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. These things were done in Bethabara, beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. And as we know in our Old Testament words, David's servant said to Nabal, they talked to him and they gave him a word of peace. They didn't come with swords drawn. They didn't come seeking to do harm. They came in peace. Peace be to you, peace to your house, and peace to all that you have. And Jesus came. And what did John say? Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus came in peace. And it says, this is he to whom I said, after me comes a man who is preferred before me. But he was before me. I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel. Therefore, I came baptizing with water. And John bore witness, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him. He did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God. Again, the next day, John stood with two of his disciples, and looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, behold, the Lamb of God. The two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned to them and said, what do you seek? They said to him, Rabbi, which is to say then, translated, teacher, where are you staying? And he said to them, come and see. And they came and saw where he was staying, and remained with him that day. Now it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard Jesus speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, we have found the Messiah, which is translated the Christ, and he brought him to Jesus. Now, when Jesus looked at him, he said, you are Simon, the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas, which is translated a stone. The following day, Jesus wanted to go to Galilee, and he found Philip and said to him, follow me. Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, we have found him in whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said to him, can anyone good come out of Nazareth? Now, that was a bigoted, prejudiced word, wasn't it? But let's come on now. Philip said to him, come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said to him, behold, an Israelite indeed, to whom is no deceit. Nathanael said to him, how do you know me? Jesus answered and said to him, before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. Nathanael answered and said to him, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said to him, because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these. And he said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Can we say, what a word, what a word, what a mighty good word. And the lesson is this, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. John 1:29. Jesus is our Passover lamb, who willingly took the punishment we deserve. God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God to him. And we're going to go over real quick to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And y'all already know where I'm going. It's a good word. First Corinthians chapter 5, and we're going to go to verse number 7. And it says this, and actually I'm going to go all the way back to verse number 5. We got a little bit of time this morning, because those that have joined me before will understand, I like to read things in context, because so many times we as Christians go to church on Sunday, we hear a word, and sometimes those words are not in context. We take a scripture and we go with it, but not within the context of that scripture. Because this is what the scripture is talking about in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. It's talking about the immorality that defiles the church. And so when we go there, therefore purge out the old leaven that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened, for indeed Christ our Passover was sacrificed for us. And we said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus is our Passover Lamb who willingly took the punishment we deserve. But then when we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, it tells us to purge the unleavened, the old leaven. So let's go back and get it all in context. And it says this, it is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you, and such sexual immorality is not even named among the Gentiles, that a man has father's wife, and you are puffed up and have not rather mourned that he who has done this deed may be taken away from among you. For I indeed, and this is Paul speaking, as absent in body but present in spirit, have already judged, as though I were present, him who has so done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together along with my spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Again, you had sexual immorality within the church. And let's call it straight, there is even in today's church. In this particular case, a man had sex with his father's wife and was still puffed up, acting like he had done anything wrong. And he's like, y'all got to get rid of that. And this is what Paul says. Your glory is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leaves a whole lump? Therefore, purge out the old leaven that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. For indeed, Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast not with old leaven, not with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. And he goes on to tell him in the next section, he says, I wrote to you in my epistle not to keep company with sexually immoral people. Yet I certainly did not mean with the sexually immoral people of this world, or with the covetous or extorters or idolaters, since then you would need to go out of the world. But now I have written to you not to keep company with anyone named a brother who is sexually immoral or covetous or an idolater or a reveler or a drunkard or an extortioner, not even to eat with such a person. For what have I to do with judging those who are outside? Do not judge those who are outside, but those who are outside God judges. Therefore, put away from yourselves the evil person. It's not our place to judge those outside the church. It is not our place to talk about Miss Boo Boo and them down the street. They don't go to your church. They don't go to anybody's church. But now Sister Susie, who does go to your church, and she's all up in Boo Boo's house. Come on now. Even though she's married to Deacon, But she all down in Boo-Boo's house. What's going on down there? But we can't judge Boo-Boo. We got to judge who is being immoral within the house of God. We as Christians need to stay out of the world business and get back into the church business, because the church business is acting like the world business. God is going to hold us accountable. And this is what it says again if we go over to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, and we're going to also again to chapter 5. And we're going to verse 21, which is verse of the chapter. But we're going to go back a little bit because I, again, like it in context. And it says to be reconciled to God. And it says, but we do not commend ourselves against to you, but give you opportunity to boast on your behalf, that you may have an answer for those who boast in appearance and not in heart. But if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. Or if we are of sound mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judged us that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, and those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, now on we regard no one according to the flesh. Y'all heard that. We don't regard you according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. We got to have that 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 in our heart. That needs to be in your highlightable arsenal. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. When you give yourself 100 to the Lord, you are a new creation. You are brand new in Christ. In our word today, Abigail said, hey, I'm not going to allow the men of my home to be murdered because of somebody else doing wrong. And what happened? David gave Nabal the cry to God. And what happened? God said, okay, your time is up. He didn't even have time to repent. Didn't have time to do anything. Stroked out and died. And as we continue in our word, it says, now all things are God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. We are reconciled with God. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. And through God, we pleadingly through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. And I'm going to go back to that word again. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. When you are saved, when you give your life to the Lord, you become ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. We become ambassadors for God. When people see us, we are to be ambassadors for God. They are to see him in us. You can't act like the world and say you're for God. And the word that is from this, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, is this. For he made him who knew no sin, Jesus Christ, our Savior, to be sin for us. He took the cross for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Blessed beyond measure to be children of the Most High God, who sent his beloved Son, who sent a part of himself to save us from our own wicked ways. We are blessed beyond measure. And this is a word to what the Bible says about welcoming the King. 1 John, 1 chapter, verses 19 through 34. So John 1, 19-34, and this is what Dr. Charles Stanley says. He says, in ancient times, the arrival of a king was a herald so that his subjects could prepare for his appearance. Certainly, the king deserved to be celebrated as the ruler of the land, so cities would hold great festivals with fanfare and pageantry. Everything would be cleaned and repaired so that the king would see his dominion at its best. When the King of Kings came to earth, the same was true. Could any less be done for the Savior of the world? As it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before your face who will prepare your way before you. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And that was in Mark chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. Who was that messenger, and how does one make straight the path of the Lord, preparing a people for his coming? Mark 1 and 4 tells us John came baptizing in the wilderness and preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. When Jesus began his ministry, he was heralded by John's baptism of repentance. John didn't ready a city to greet our mere earthly king. Rather, he prepared people's hearts to receive a Savior. John said that he should be revealed to Israel. Therefore, I came baptizing with water. John told him up front, why baptism by water? Why was this chosen by God to proclaim the coming of the king? During that time, when Gentiles converted to Judaism, they were baptized to show a complete, all-encompassing change of attitude. They went from knowledge of false gods to recognition of the one true God. The baptism John brought was for Jews and Gentiles alike, also showing a change in attitude. Yet this baptism was not only before only about recognizing the one true God. It was about agreeing fully with the Lord about their sinful nature. John's father, Zechariah, prophesied about him, saying, you, child, will be called the prophet of the highest, for you will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins. Luke chapter 1, verse 76 and 77. John helped people to know that they were sinful, but he also proclaimed the good news that the forgiveness of their sin was coming soon. In John chapter 1, verse 29 through 34, he describes the moment when John's teaching was fulfilled. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. I have seen and testified that this is John pointed toward Christ as the Son of God who had come for the forgiveness of sin. John's ministry was essential to the establishment of the new covenant because he instructed people how to get ready for the king. He told the multitudes that the attitude for receiving Christ was repentance, and that it was only through that lowly heart of one regretting their sin that the king could truly be welcomed. Hallelujah. John was the precursor. He was the one to prepare the way for the Savior. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10, and I like to say that whole entire section from verse 2 to verse 12 is all about repentance. But verse number 10 says this, for godly sorrow produces repentance leading to salvation, not to be regretted, but the sorrow of the world produces death. That's one of them highlightable highlights. And I love verse number 3. It says, I do not say this to condemn, for I have said before that you are in our hearts to die together and to live together. And it goes on to tell us in verse 2, open your hearts to us. We have wronged no one. We have corrupted no one. We have cheated no one. Hallelujah. Praise be to God who causes us to triumph in his name. And that is our word for this morning. If there's anyone that has a word that God has given you, please push the number 1 on your phone and your line will be open. Again, God has given us a word today, something to think about. We have to give peace. As Abigail said, as David said, to tell Nabal, peace be to you, peace to your house, and peace to all that you have. I ask you, Lord God, to give each and every listener peace in their house, peace in their hearts, peace in their minds, peace over everything that they have, peace over everything they will receive. I ask you, Father God, to give them peace of mind in the name of Christ Jesus. As we have learned today, Lord God, we ask you to forgive us of all our sin as we repent, that we may be saved by the Holy Spirit that comes in us through Christ Jesus our Lord. We thank you, God, for your grace and your mercy. And Lord, we thank you for this mighty word this morning. And it's in Jesus' name I thank you, I praise you, and I give you honor and glory. And a word from my sister in Christ, which sums it all up for us, is this. If God can bring you to it, come on now. He will take you through it. He has you. Have a triumphant Tuesday, everybody. Because did God not bring David to it and through it, as he brings us to it and through it? I love God, and he loves me. And I know all of you who are listening love God too. And I can say this without heart, knowing that God loves you too. Thank you so much for listening in this morning. Have a blessed and wonderful day. Keep your families in your prayers as I keep your families in your prayers. And as we say always, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent one from each other in the precious and holy name of our Savior, Christ Jesus. I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and wonderful day. And again, the words of David, peace be to you, peace be to your house, and peace to all that you have. Have a blessed day, family, keeping God first and knowing that you are never alone. For the Lord God is always there. He is always with you, watching over you. And have a blessed day, family. It's a wrap. It's a wrap. Why? Because we got to go to work. Who do we work for? We work for God. Thank you so much. And always know that you are being prayed over, because we are always willing, ready, available, presently praying for each and every one of you. It's a wrap, family. Love you much. Be blessed. God willing, please join me tomorrow, 7 a.m., as we move forward through the word of God. Have a blessed day. Minister Lee out.